The title of the sermon today is Through Christ. Last week in my message, there seemed to be some confusion about something I said or how I said it. And before moving on today, in fact, this whole message is about this, I want to be able to clear this all up. So turn with me to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John and chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Beautiful portion of Scripture. John chapter 1, verse 1, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Verse 3 again, "All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." All things were made through Him. And without Him being present, without Him being present, there was nothing that was made. At the time of creation, Christ was there. And what does verse 2 says? It says, He was in the beginning with God. Genesis 1:26, we won't turn there, we've read it so many times in the last few weeks, but it says, "Let us make man in our image." Who was there? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Here in John, what a beautiful portion of Scripture. Let's apply some other truths to verse 3. So we read verse 3 again. "All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." Our salvation is through Christ, and outside of Christ there is no salvation. So I want you to save your place here in John. We may come back to it, but turn with me to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. In Acts 4 and verse 12, it says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So only through Christ can we be saved. The Word was made, the world was made through Him, and our salvation is through Him. Sin has separated us from our relationship with the Heavenly Father, but through our faith in Christ, we have been reunited with our Heavenly Father. Through Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. Without Christ, there is no forgiveness. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Hebrews 9 and verse 12. In Hebrews 9 and verse 12, it says, and I'll start at verse 11, "But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, He is what? He is the mediator of the new covenant, which means of death, for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." He is the mediator of the new covenant. There is no other mediator that we can go through. There is no salvation that is found in any other place or any other way. There is not many roads to heaven. There's not many people that we can go to that will help us find heaven. There's only one, and His name is Jesus. So in this, when we read verse 3 of John, do you catch the pattern here? Through Christ, I am saved. Through Christ, I am delivered. Through Christ, I am healed. What did it say in John chapter 1? Again, let me go back to that. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So do you catch the pattern that through Christ I am saved? Only through Christ. There's no other avenue. Through Christ I am delivered. Only through Christ can I be delivered. Through Christ I am healed. Only through Christ can I be healed. Through Christ I have answered prayer. But only through Christ that I have that answered prayer. It's through my relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father. And I have that relationship with my Heavenly Father because my high priest, that is named Jesus, went into the most holy place and gave his own life so I would have access. That's why we see at the Passover, the temple veil was rented from top to bottom to give us access through Jesus in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So turn with me to John 14. John 14. We're going to stay in John for just a moment. John 14 and verse 13. John 14 and verse 13. In John 14 and verse 13, it says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I'll read from verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do what? Also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Because the Holy Spirit would become worldwide. Now verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when I ask anything in prayer, it's always what? Through the name of Jesus. It's by His stripes that we are healed. It's by His stripes that we are set free. It's through His name. If you ask anything, He repeats that. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So let's go to John 15. John 15 and verse 16. In John 15 and verse 16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These commandments I command you that you love one another. So the authority of the believer does not come from you. It is through the name of Jesus, through Christ, I am forgiven of my sins. I am reunited in my relationship with my Heavenly Father. Through Christ, I am a child of God. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we go to Romans chapter 8, we go to verse 14. In verse 14, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons, and I will add the daughters of God. If you're led by His Spirit, you feel the abiding comfort of His Spirit that bears witness with you that you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He goes on to say, for you did not receive the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And then listen to the words. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Indeed, if we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together. As a child of God, yes, I have the benefits as a child of the Most High God. But those benefits are always through the name of Jesus. Yes, as a believer, I have authority. But it is always through the name of Jesus. I come to my Heavenly Father through that name. Church body, are we clear on that? We have the authority as a believer, but it is through the name of Jesus that we are given that authority. I can command you to be healed. Because we have been given that authority as co-heirs with the Lord Jesus. What does it say in the Gospel of Mark? It says, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You will cast out demons. You will speak with new tongues. If you handle or drink anything deadly, it will not bother you. Why? Because of your relationship with the Heavenly Father that you have through Jesus. So I can command that you're going to be healed, but I'm commanding you to be healed in the authority that I have through what? Through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
It has to be through His authority and not our own authority. Somehow we got mixed up a little bit last week, and it might have been all on me, and I take it completely and fully that I would apologize for that, but I've been teaching what I am teaching now for 30 plus years, and I'm never going to change. It's always through the name of Jesus. Our victory is found in Jesus. Our salvation is found in Jesus. Our healing is found in Jesus. We are delivered by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are given these gifts and these talents and these abilities, and we have the authority through the power and through the blood of Jesus. Amen. You are saved, delivered, set free through the name of Jesus. He is my authority. He is your authority. He is the church's authority. We have already said and shared scripture that this, it is through Jesus that we have prayers that are answered. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I could speak all day on the authority of the scripture, and I don't have time. And I'm not going to get as far as I want, but I want to make sure that we have this clear in our minds today. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, down to verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Verse 18 again, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." For those that are in the world, for your loved ones that do not know Jesus, what you share with them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is just foolishness to them because they're trying to think intellectually. They're trying to make sense of it intellectually. It's only through the power of God that that revelation comes to us that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You're never going to figure that out in the flesh, but you're only going to be able to figure that out through the Spirit of God. So when we turn to another scripture, they do not understand, nor can they understand. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us," how? "Through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of God which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except what? The Spirit of God. Now, if we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Verse 14, we're going to talk about the unsaved. "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have" what? "The mind of Christ." You are redeemed through Christ. The world is not. They will see, not be able to see nor understand until what? Until they come to Jesus. Now you've heard me share my testimony many times that I had a preacher come to my house and he was going to convince me that I needed to know Jesus. He says, I think that you would be a good Christian. I think you would be a good addition to our church. I think you'd be really nice to have you in the church. But you need to accept Jesus. And you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And what did I tell him? When I get this all figured out, then I'll make my decision. Well, you know about the gospel of Jesus Christ? You are not ever going to be figuring it out. You have to submit yourself to what God is stirring in your heart, that you need Jesus more than you do anything else, that you need Jesus more than you need this world. Yes. Then, when you come to Him, the Lord Jesus reveals it to you and He figures it out for you. Through Christ, you have answered prayer. They do not. Do you remember in your own life when that light bulb went off? And you know as well as I do, you can talk to many people in the world about your witness, about the testimony of the Word, and all you can see the light's not on. There's somebody home, but the light's not on. They don't understand. But I remember in my life when that light bulb came on. Yes, God will answer a prayer of repentance, a salvation prayer, but you and I can boldly come to the throne of grace. They cannot, because they have no relationship. The access to our Heavenly Father is through our High Priest, and His name is Jesus. Otherwise, they don't have access to the Father. What did we see? What did we see all the way back in the book of Genesis? They were separated because they had sin in their life, and sin separated from their God. You remember when Jesus was on the cross and He said, "My God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because God could not look upon His own Son because He was carrying the sins of the world. He cannot look upon sin. Our access is because of our relationship with Jesus, that He forgave us of our sins, and that brings us back in the fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We're getting towards the end. Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, and it says this, Hebrews 4, verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may be able to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." God does not know the unbeliever. He cannot know the unbeliever in an intimate way. Sin has separated him. Only through Christ can we be reunited with our Heavenly Father. To you, saint, He is your Heavenly Father. To the world, He is not. As a saint of God, I carry a birth certificate that says, "Child of the Most High God." And through that birth certificate, I have answered prayer through Christ. I have the authority over the powers of darkness. I want to show you briefly before we close what that authority is. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. A scripture that you're all very, very familiar with. Ephesians 6, verse 10. We go to verse 10 of Ephesians 6. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Stand. You have been given the authority to put the armor on. You get this? He's given you this authority. He's given you this armor. He has given you the authority to put that armor on so you can defeat the powers of darkness. We have authority over the powers of darkness. No matter what regional demon that wanted to keep us out of this place, we kept shouting him down, and we kept praying about it till we got the word that you're piercing through, then you're breaking through. We broke through that power of darkness that was here so this church could be planted, so many people could come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because we took authority over it. Amen? You have that authority. James chapter 4, verse 7, what says what? You resist the devil and he will flee from you. You have the ability and the authority to resist the adversary. Now turn with me one last scripture, I believe. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, there's a lot of other scriptures that I could read, but we'll go to this one. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, verse 22 of Mark 11, and it says this. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he asks. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, whatever you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. In three Gospels, this portion of Scripture is repeated in one variation or another. I could go on all day about the authority that we have as a believer. Through Christ, we can lay hands on the sick. We have the power over the powers of darkness. Husband and wives, when one of you is sick, the other one needs to be laying hands on the other one and praying for him. And you know what? That doesn't happen in the Christian community. Maybe all of you don't have a bottle of oil at home, but all of you probably got a bottle of olive oil somewhere. And you anoint them with oil and you pray over them. You pray over one another. You support one another. You encourage one another. You have the power and the authority to do that. Pastor Leo doesn't have to come to your house. I'm glad to do that, and I'm glad to lay hands on you and pray for you that you would be healed. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, you are a part of the family of God. It shows it on your birth certificate. And if it shows it on your birth certificate, you can take the authority in it through the name of Jesus. Amen. Husbands and wives, we don't do that enough. People in your family that are sick, you get the bottle of oil out. It doesn't have to be frankincense and myrrh, but a bottle of oil. And why the bottle of oil? Because by faith, you are believing that the presence of God is going to come down and the presence of God is going to heal them through the name of Jesus. It's an act. It's an act of faith. Yes. Do you know, believer, you have that authority to speak to the mountain? And I ask you today, what is that mountain that's in front of you? He says to believe. What is that mountain that is in your path? And what do you want to say to it? You see, that's what I was trying to get to last week, and I messed it up, I think. Is that you need to speak to the mountain. You need to take the authority as a believer in Jesus Christ because you're applying faith to that situation. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will be healed. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will be delivered. And mountain, you've got to move because I'm walking here. And I'm a child of the Most High God. And everybody in this room has got a mountain. I don't care if that mountain is a heart attack, that mountain is cancer. I don't care what that mountain is, but there's a mountain in your path. You've got to speak to that mountain through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell that mountain to get out of your way. You're a child of the Most High God. You ain't leaving this earth until God says it's time, and it's not time today. I got more work to do for the kingdom. Amen. God wants you to speak to it. Start using the authority that you have as a believer against the powers of darkness. Not too long ago, I went to somebody's house, and there was an evil presence that was bothering the family, and I prayed with them. I anointed the doorpost and the lintels. But you know, you have the authority to do that yourself. I'd be glad to come and do it. I look forward to it because I like to have them tell me how much peace there is in after I leave. But you have the authority to do that through the name of Jesus.